Before we get started, I want to say a big thank you to everyone who has stepped in through our Patreon site to support what Skirmish Play does, to kind of help our mission out, to help us do some unique things. That's made it possible for us to upgrade some of our equipment this year. We're really excited to take it out there. We did that over the summer, to take it out there, make some things happen this fall, some kind of unique things. And you guys with Patreon have really made that possible. We hope more folks will jump on board with us. Come on and support us. You can check it out at patreon.com/skirmishplay. Definitely want to, you know, to have anybody who is, you know, excited about what we're doing over here, excited about our mission, to jump in and come out and support us. So that's definitely a critical part of what we do. So thanks a lot, and enjoy the podcast. This is Bart Isley. I'm here with Ryan Yeaman for the latest edition of the Skirmish Play podcast. And right off the top, we'd like to thank the SP podcast presenting sponsor, C&G Paving. If you want your paving or asphalt job done right the first time, you want C&G to knock it out. With 30 years of experience under owner Jeff Gray, this family-owned local business has been taking care of roads, parking lots, and driveways across Central Virginia for decades, and with a 5-star rating on Facebook, you know they're going to get it right. Give them a call at 540-456-6179 today for a free estimate. We're here to talk swimming this week. Really big week in that sport, and their season really kind of got into a groove this week.
Yeah, you were out there. It's the Ben Hare Invitational. It's sort of the unofficial kickoff to swimming. I mean, technically the season starts in December, but that sort of meet with all the public schools and private schools getting together, that sort of "and we're off" kind of thing.
Yeah.
And, you know, with the state meets coming up in February, this is sort of our real full-blown introduction to what the swimming talent looks like.
Yeah, and it was interesting to see there were some new faces in the meet with Harrisonburg and William Wilson Memorial. Jumping in, Wilson Memorial is just a first-year program over in the Valley. But as usual, a lot of the story was Albemarle and Western. On the boys' side, we'll start there. And Caleb Smith, he has been a force for a number of years now. He's headed to Seton Hall. He had another typically very good. He's a really good middle distance freestyle guy, and won the 200 and 500. It's become sort of clockwork that guy will do that.
And that's something that Albemarle is a program. The 500 just seems to be their thing.
Yeah, the Kudahy kid, I think, maybe a few years ago.
Every year they just sort of seem to have a guy. And it seems like a thankless event on one level. It takes so long to swim that event.
And it's a grind, man.
You get the same amount as if you win the 200.
The 100. Or the 100, or the 50.
I feel like you should have, like, weighted points for winning the
500. You made it longer.
Yeah.
But heck of a performance by that guy. Caleb Smith is just he's a really good leader. They're talking about that they're, you know, trying to find different ways to challenge him, ways to improve, ways to kind of do things. He's really messing with a lot of the little things now, whether it's the start or how he closes. And it's interesting because a lot of those guys who are top-notch, year-round type swimmers are really in a big training period right now where they're kind of worn out. Like, they're doing that winter training piece, and they're not expected to swim really fast in the Ben Hare. The Ben Hare just kind of jumps up on them because a lot of them are just in a different sort of mode or sort of a different part of the plan and the puzzle for them. So to see him come out there and do really well, and a lot of guys swim really well for Albemarle.
Yeah, because you're sort of taken aback by the depth. I mean, as good as Smith is, but there were so many complimentary pieces around him, like Charlie Cross and those guys, Valvalo.
I mean, yeah.
Alex Tam.
Yeah, and that's who, you know, Smith was talking about, was Walker Davis and Charlie Cross. And, you know, these guys really stepped up in key events, and they had guys kind of jump into it and do really well. I think that, you know, when, like I said, you're trying to swim when you're tired, you know, if you're not a year-round guy, you know, maybe that's not the case as much. But if you are, and a lot of these guys are, that, you know, swim for J.J. Bean at Albemarle,
you're kind of worn out and you kind of have to figure out how to do it. Dan Bledsoe, the Western coach, talked about like trying to find a way to swim when you're tired. And these guys did. They did really well. Alex Tan was really good. Thomas Lacrone, Nick Ashby. They had guys just kind of step up all the way across the board and swim well and get them into position. I think that, you know, we're recording this on Thursday night and the dive portion of the event, probably Western, I don't know if Albemarle even has divers, so Western may get the edge there and overtake them. But in the swim portion, to battle it out with a Western team that has some really elite, good swimmers, it's a big step in the right direction for Albemarle. And they have a pretty good year ahead of them. I mean, a lot of guys who can score points, a lot of guys who can do it a lot of different ways. And to do as well as they did in the relays, win the 200 medley, win the 400 free, and finish second in the 200 free in what's a pretty good little meet, is a heck of a way to kind of kickstart, jump, you know, really put the season into overdrive.
Yeah, and you look at the final in that one, 415 to 411. Those are two really balanced teams.
Yeah.
I mean, it just seems like you're getting – you expect Western to be in that mix, considering last year was sort of the year they had to retool a lot of different – sort of events and find guys here and plug and play. It seems like they've gotten, you know, that much better in the year since.
And maybe if you were going to pick two guys that you wanted to have as the top two, yeah, Caleb Smith's probably, he's probably the best, you know, especially as far as like being a senior and kind of having things kind of wrapped up. And it was interesting to talk to him that the Seton Hall thing for him happened like over this summer. So versus like lacrosse, where like the recruiting is happening as a ninth grader, recruiting is much later in swimming. And I think it probably gives teams a better idea of who is a great fit for what they're doing and who is hitting the times that they want to hit. But, a pretty balanced team. But if you were picking two guys, a tandem, I think Noah Hargrove and August Lamb, you'd be hard-pressed not to want those two guys. They could really kind of get things done. They're just darn good swimmers.
Yeah, anybody that's good at intermedley stuff, that pretty much takes care of it. If you can swim that event well, you can swim all the events.
You can contribute in a lot of different ways. For Hargrove to go out there, win the 200 IM and the 100 fly, Lamb wins the 100 free and the 100 breaststroke. Those are versatile swimmers who can do a lot of different things for you. That's two really good pieces right out of the gate that'll allow Western to be in the mix for some things down the road as they kind of move, you know, towards, you know, a potential 3A type. You know, a 3A, maybe a championship. You know, who knows how it works? You know, 5A, 3A, it's always hard to tell, just especially with some of the movement that we've had the last few years, you know, who they'll be matched up against. But Western, probably with those two guys, has got to feel pretty good about the mix that they're in.
Especially since those are the sprint races, and, you know, they translate well to relays. It means you have a guy, either the start or as the anchor on your relay squads, that can really bring it home and sort of send a nasty little punch there.
Yeah, I mean, they're just those two guys right there, and then some of the other leaders they have, they just have a lot of really good pluggers. They have some guys who are not year-round swimmers who are also pretty darn good and can, you know, and can come up with a lot of points right there in the middle of the pack with really good swims. They had that. That's why they were able to challenge Albemarle. And then they also have the advantage when it comes to the dive. They have pretty good divers. They have some, you know, some folks who can make some noise and score some points in an event that sometimes gets overlooked or disregarded, but can make a huge difference in points when it comes down to regional championships and state championships.
So you got Albemarle 1, you got Western 2, Woodbury comes in 3rd there, yeah. St. Anne's in 4th, and you got a whole bunch of individual performances that you got to break through. I mean, that's the kind of the cool thing about swimming on one level. It's very similar to track and field and cross country and so forth, and you'll have these teams out front like Western and Albemarle, it seems, yeah, perennially, but there's always one good swimmer sort of state-wise that's on some of the programs like Monticello and so forth, Fork Union, whoever, really good individual performers.
Yeah, Bracanetti, man, guy from Monticello, he was the runner-up in the 200 IM and the 500 free. Seems like he's been doing some really good things over the last few years. His name has been floating around for a while. Fork Union had Anthony Gemma. He was the runner-up in the 50 free and the 100 free. That guy's just a really good freestyler. I think he's headed to swim in college next year as well. And then you got Stabs, Parker DeViller, 3rd in the 50 free and 5th in the 100 breast, another versatile versatile guy who can really kind of, you know, do some different things and open things up. And then Woodbury had Charlie Moore. You know, Woodbury has to replace Chad Siglow, who was a pretty good all. He was an all skirmish place swimmer last year, a pretty darn good one. And you know, they've got Charlie Moore this year. He took third in the 100 back and fourth in the 200 free. Kyle Floyd was a runner up in the 200 free, and he was third in the 100 fly. So it's just interesting to see. You know, Woodbury's, you know, has the, you know, has the pool, just like Fort Union has the pool on campus. Usually has some pretty darn good swimmers, and no. You know, wasn't a disappointment this year. They had some guys who could step up, some guys who could, you know, swim in what is a tough meet. Like I said, you're training. That's a difficult task to come in and jump into that meet and do really well.
Yeah, and then, of course, over at Covenant, I mean, they should sort of give a discount there on tuition for the family.
All of them have been there forever. They've been tearing it up in the pool for a long time. Again, another versatile guy. A sprinter. Noah Holstein won the 50 free, and then he was a runner-up in the back. So another guy who can really kind of do some interesting things and make some really interesting, you know, moves and give them that sort of foundation that they can kind of build around. So if they can find some other swimmers who can jump in that mix, maybe they can make some noise in the private school championships.
So we get all these groups together for one meet here, and then we sort of jump back into your own classifications.
That's right.
What do we project going down the road with these state meets in February? How do we feel like Albemarle, Western, all these groups sort of break down going into February?
Yeah, like I said, I think it's hard to project exactly because we've had a little bit of change with realignment.
The last realignment really kind to local swimming.
It made things easier in some situations. It just set them up for a lot of success. You know, like I said, I think Western, because they have the divers that can, you know.
Those are free points. I mean,
they contribute in a big way.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, it's a lot of points and. You know, they've got the divers. They've got the two top end guys. If they can bring along these sort of non-year round guys and some of these other younger guys that are kind of stepping in, but they've got Lamb, they've got Hargrove, they've got to feel like they can compete probably for, you know, compete at least for a region title, maybe for that state title when it really comes down to it. You know, then you kind of flip over to Albemarle and you don't really know what you're going to run into with 5A competition. But Caleb Smith gives them a really darn good place to start. And they've had a lot of other guys step up. They're going to have to see more depth kind of develop, I think, behind Smith. But they've got to feel pretty good about, you know, the foundation that they've got. And, you know, I mean, you just never know what you're going to kind of run into down the road. And if they can kind of keep putting things together and improve in kind of a rapid way, then maybe they can challenge for some titles.
Yeah, I mean, we're lucky, you know, Charlottesville area, greater area around it too, Central Virginia as a whole. It's not that big of a place, but for the amount of swimmers that we get going on to the next level, there's a lot. But for Albemarle, competing against Northern Virginia, I mean, that those schools are huge. Swimming is just
yeah, and huge, not to mention too, there's some 5A schools in Richmond that I think are pretty good, pretty good swimmers. So definitely difficult. I think when the Albemarle girls won the title, you know, a couple of years ago, we could tell, hey, that's a pretty darn good
accomplishment. It just seems like there's always such a gap between the region and state there, like that we've seen in previous realignments. That, you know, Albemarle does really well back when it was in conference stuff, does really well in regional stuff, and then coming into the state stuff, that the level of competition is just so much further ahead. So, switching over to the girls' side, I mean, that's a little bit different of a meet.
Yeah, absolutely. Albemarle really kind of ran out there on everybody. I think they were sort of surprised themselves a little bit. They got some really great swims across the board. A lot of their, you know, the way J.J. Bean put it was that, you know, their middle tier swimmers really, you know, made some improvement. They really did, you know, did some excellent things. I think you could see that too, that they were just having that kind of beat. There's a moment where Colleen Fairball in the 500 free, she finished second to Alexa Owen, but she got, you know, popped her head out of the pool, saw her time, and was kind of shocked. I think she knocked 9 seconds off of it. That's a pretty darn good improvement, especially in a time when you're not really expected to improve because you're one of these, you know, this whole group of year-round folks that's coming out of winter training. So, yeah, I think that they ran it out on them, and, you know, we know that Western is really young over on the girls' side, and they're still kind of looking for some leadership. They're looking for some folks to step up and, you know, kind of have these monster years. I mean, there's no question that at some point they were going to have, you know, years where they were not absolute world beaters. And, you know, they've got one of those years this year, though, where they've got some talent. They can really improve. They can get into that mix for the 3A championship. But Almar is just really good again. And that's despite losing some kind of key folks from the last couple of years. And, you know, they just still kind of figured out Grace Farmar, Megan, I think it was Megan Jones. You know, they've moved on. But they bring back folks like Ashley Huang, and they bring back Marn Weathersby, and just this whole sort of, you know, tough, proven, seasoned group that is still there and can kind of lead some of these younger folks who are stepping up. I mean, you know, Morgan Brezza is a young swimmer, Ada McDonald, Adelie Lynch. I mean, there's just a lot of folks that really kind of came up and had really big swims for Almar, and I think that just bodes really well. They've got talent kind of across the board that, you know, they can kind of put things together and make some noise.
Yeah, I mean, it seems like a different girl for each event. They can really just sort of kill you with depth, and that's what Western's going to get better. They're going to have to do, because, I mean, they've sort of had that pipeline of Remedy Rule and Brazil Rule for a year that sort of just stacked up so many points in state meets for them, and it seems like they're going to have to do it with depth going forward this year.
Yeah, I think that's kind of the key, is that, you know, obviously they get to break off into 5A and 3A, so they don't have to run into each other much, you know, when it comes to trying to get to the state championship. But, you know, there's no question, too, that Fluvanna is vastly improved. Monticello is vastly improved. You know, there's maybe more depth, more parity to, you know, the 3A schools that are in the district. And that owes to the fact that Monticello's got sort of an electric freshman who showed up, Athena Vanyo, you know, and, you know, she's had a real breakout-type performance. Won both the 200 IM and the 100 fly as a freshman. That's nuts. That's just pretty crazy. And heck of a performance by her. And I think then you throw in there, you know, points are going to be tough to come by when it comes to the district in general with Alexa Owen, Louisa, who's pretty darn good. So, you know, Western's got some things to figure out, but they've also, Catherine Burr had a really big night for them. Kaylee Jumper had a really big night. Claudia James, we know what kind of swimmer she is. She's been darn good for the last few years. So they've got a lot of pieces that they can kind of put together and figure some things out.
Yeah, and I got to imagine for Western, these girls have, I don't know, they've been in the program a number of years. They've seen how many times this, I mean, six-time state champs?
Yeah.
I think you said, you know, you can figure out a way to finagle points out of that meet.
Yeah, I think that, and Dan Plansode's always done, Dan's just done a really good job of maximizing the kids that he's got, of putting kids in the right position to be able to score points and to contribute. And I think that they'll continue to find ways to do that. And you know, Ben Hare, maybe that's where just where they are. Maybe it's a product of how good Almar swam. But I think that they knew after that meet that there's a lot of room for improvement. There's a lot of things they can do better. And that maybe that becomes this sort of wake-up call or a chance at a turning point when it comes to, you know, moving down the stretch.
Yeah, I mean, how much is this meet sort of, I mean, there's so much pride on the line. We see, while it's counted as an exhibition meet, it seems like these swimmers take this event so seriously that it sort of drives their season. I mean, for Albemarle, that, you know, maybe something is greater on the horizon capable for them, and then for Western, maybe that, hey, we got to get back to work and figure something out here.
Yeah, I mean, you can see the intensity. The entire Western team was kind of grouped up behind the blocks, just yelling and screaming and chanting and cheering for the 400 free relays. So I think that, yeah, it's obvious that, like, the meet's important, that it is. There's a lot of team pride. There's a lot of fun. It was especially that way when Almar was not in the Jefferson District, when this was kind of their only shot at each other.
Yeah.
I think that made a difference, you know, now that, you know, they see each other, you know, maybe in, I think they'll have a dual meet against each other. Maybe they see each other, you know, in other pieces, or if there's a Jefferson District meet at the end of the year, they get some other shots. But, like, this is a big chance to really kind of where swimming gets the spotlight for a night. They get a chance to really do some different things and they get to swim at UVA, which is pretty fun too. So, yeah, really impressive, performance that Almar put on, and Western, like I said, they probably look at that and say, hey, like a few moves up in a few different events and we're starting to compete for that thing. And I think that could really be a big difference maker for their season going forward. So that gives you some idea of kind of what's gone on with swimming and you know, what we know so far. And we'll see kind of how these teams move on and compete down the stretch. So obviously another great Ben Hare that allowed us to see a lot of different swimming talents showcase their abilities. Every week we like to do the CNG Smooth Operator of the Week. It's a basketball award. And this one, you know, we don't always do it just on numbers. But this one's about numbers, and it's a pretty darn good performance from Michael Cunningham out at Fork Union.
Yeah, I mean, just tonight I was out at Blue Ridge looking at the record holder. Blue Ridge is sort of our perennial basketball school, and you figure, oh, the school record there has got to be high up there. And it's 39. Michael Cunningham put up 60.
60?
Yeah. In a overtime game, okay, but so you're only adding a couple minutes to the regular 32. So, but even if he had scored 50 in regulation, which he easily had.
Yeah. 56 in regulation, right?
Yep, and 60 points. I mean, he had 16 points in the first half. So that's 16 in the first half. That's just a good night.
That's
right?
A real good night.
Second half just explodes.
Yeah.
But I think what's most impressive is, you know, he got it done, taking it to the basket, a lot of layups. This wasn't a three-point competition for him, and almost half of his points, I mean, 24 for 30 at the free throw line. That, for a high school student to be shooting 80% like that in a game that goes into overtime, where most of the free throws in the second half and your legs are tired,
mm-hmm.
That is just one heck of a performance. And I got to talk to him about it afterwards, the next day when they were playing St. Anne's. And he talked about it. Like, some nights you kind of know you've got your shot and, you know, your team sees it, so they keep feeding you. And that's sort of what happened. You know, what is it, 93-92 in overtime? Whew. I mean, just a wild game. And
against a Christchurch team that is a traditional power. They've got some players. We know the coach, Bill Ramsey, used to be at Blue Ridge. That is not a slouch. And if you scored 60 on Bill Ramsey with Bill Ramsey, you got a legit 60. Because if he could have prevented it, he could have figured it out, he would have.
And I think that's why it's important to see how many points were scored in regulation there, because the foul situation became a problem for both schools. And, you know, Christchurch was playing a man down towards there at the end, which is fascinating.
Yeah.
We don't see that very often. But, yeah, so, I mean, Cunningham just blowing up like that. 60, that sets the benchmark pretty high. I mean, we've been talking about it for the last couple of days. I don't know what our local high is.
Yeah, we're working on that. We're trying to figure out what the local single game scoring record is. If you know of some games that are nuts, please let us know. But
we've had some pretty good performances.
Yeah,
some pretty good guys.
53 or 54, I think, from Latrell Winkie at Tandem last year. I know I saw 47 from Yaya Anderson in the state quarterfinals.
Yeah. Javin's got some big numbers from St. Anne's.
Yeah, but 60's nuts. 60's way up there. So we're going to keep looking into it, keep figuring out. Fork Union is saying it's a school record for them.
I don't think that's going to be tough.
Yeah. That's 60's just nuts. So we're going to keep looking into it. But heck of a performance by Michael Cunningham, and he's the CNG Smooth Operator of the Week. You get to 60, you get the award. That's a fair – well, let's go ahead and set that as a baseline. If you get to 60, you get the award. Cunningham, maybe we don't come back to him. But you know what? If he gets to 60 again, we'll
do
it again.
If he does twice, I mean, forget it. We'll name the award after.
Yeah, we'll name him.
Yeah,
we'll do it.
60-point games in a season. We're shutting it down.
If he gets it twice, we're renaming it. It's the CNG Smooth Operator of the Week presented by Michael Cunningham.
Yep.
So, a heck of a performance from him. Appreciate you listening, catching up on swimming in the area, and we'll be back next week.